Good morning. It was so sweet to be able to share a book from my childhood and have my mom read it for everyone. So I don't think that many preachers probably have a chance to do that. So I'm very lucky. So Maggie and the Goodbye Gift was a book given to our family when I was a little kid, and I don't remember who gave it to us, because this copy that I read, I actually found online a couple of years ago, because I have a niece named Maggie, and I kind of think she ended up with the original book. So I wanted to look in the inscription and see who gave it to us. But as my mom alluded to, we moved quite a few times when I was a kid, so there would have been a couple of opportunities. I'm thinking especially in the mid-80s when we moved from from Charlottesville, Virginia, to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And I would have been just at the age to have seen that big moving truck coming and maybe had some big feelings about it. So I'm guessing an uncle or an aunt or maybe a grown-up from our church gave it to our family to help me prepare for that move, or my brother Joe. This is one of those stories that has stuck with me for some reason. The illustrations are very interesting to me. I sort of love the simplicity of the line drawings of them. But also, we never had an electric can opener, so I think I was kind of fascinated by the possibility of that. I'm also, in retrospect, really impressed with Maggie, because my in-laws have an electric can opener, and I'm not very good at using it. So maybe there were instructions when she opened up that package. But I especially love the image of Maggie in the kitchen with all of those open cans around her. That's the image, I think, from the book that imprinted in me most. And especially because if you're looking up close, those cans are like herring, spam, crushed pineapple, chow mein, kidney beans, clam chowder, spinach, and Hawaiian punch. And I had to pause about that this week when I was thinking about it. Did Hawaiian punch come in cans? But I think it did, because then I remember like the tool with the triangle, and you put two holes in it so that, you know, the airflow and everything. So that was a fun trip down memory lane just to look at the can of Hawaiian punch. But what in the world did they make with that combination of ingredients? I'm not sure that the More with Less cookbook would have helped them out with that set. But beyond my fascination with the electric can opener and Maggie's parents' choice of pantry staples, I think two things really stayed with me from that book. First is that the story, you could say, is a whole story about a kid's bad choice. Maggie had to have known she probably wasn't supposed to open every single can in the pantry. Her parents were upset when they saw what she had done. But nowhere in the story did any character say anything to Maggie that would make her feel like a bad person for having done what she did. The story describes very sympathetically and matter-of-factly that Maggie was simply working out all the big emotions of the people around her, and very naturally turned to a gift and exploring that and opening it up in a very stressful time. The upset was named, but there was no shaming in this story. The name of the story and the way Maggie and her whole family describe the incident attributes it all to the goodbye gift, not Maggie's mistake or bad choice. They don't say, remember that time when Maggie opened up all the cans, we had to go full Iron Chef to use up all the food. It says the neighbors, or strangers as Maggie called them, laughed when they heard what the goodbye gift had done and promised to come over for supper. The second thing that really stuck with me from this story is that it kind of messes up the proper sequence of hospitality. Because really, their neighbors should have been the welcomers, and Maggie's family the welcomees. But the gift and Maggie's mistake were what prompted the hospitality exchange to happen. I mean, there's the new family, and they've been in their house long enough to get all the furniture rearranged and things, and it seems like somebody should have showed up with a pumpkin pie for them by now, but we don't hear about that in the story. So Maggie's dad goes house to house, personally welcoming all of the neighbors who've lived there all along to join the new folks in their house. And they all come. And again, the family managed to make pies and loaves of bread, and a grand time was had by all. And soon their neighbors aren't strangers anymore, again, but as Maggie says, people just like us. So we had friends again. But really, what made that can opener truly a gift is that it gave everyone an excuse to be together. Nothing helps humans set aside social hesitancy better than someone in need or something they can do, or even an accident to respond to. Strangers will step in, friends and family will step in when it's truly urgent. We like to help give a good story the ending it deserves. So why do we work so hard to hide our mistakes and our needs when the whole group benefits when someone says it out loud and gives us something to come around together? How might our community, our communities, and our own lonelinesses be transformed if we all just said our mistakes out loud? Look at what I accidentally did, and there's no way I can handle all of this by myself. What if we saw those for the gifts they actually are, their ice-breaking capacity, the excuse for boldness they give us to go to a stranger that you wouldn't normally have walked up to just out of necessity? They invite people to laugh with us and to join us in eating our humble pie together, because there's often quite enough to go around. I think the Beatitudes speak to this logic and to many of the different places and points of logic in this story. How counterintuitive, but true it is, that we might actually be happier if we didn't only attribute blessedness to pride of accomplishment, but also to emotional and spiritual maturity, the kind that allows us to acknowledge our meekness, to acknowledge when we're poor in spirit, or just poor and in need of a handout. Happy are they who are given gifts that create chaos, as inconvenient as it may seem. I also love the echoes in this story of other meals in our scripture. The feeding of the 5,000, I think it helps trigger all the different possibilities in my mind of how maybe that miracle took place and why it took place and how suddenly there was much more food than anybody thought and everybody had a feast. So what could the story of Maggie's goodbye gift mean for us? Might this be a story that can form us now and not just the imagination of a 9-year-old kid about to move to Pennsylvania? For one thing, I found myself thinking, the only reason this story worked is because food goes bad. And the minute Maggie opened those cans, a timer started. In a way, Maggie's family wasn't being that generous in that there's no way they could have kept it all for themselves if they'd wanted to. And then I had a thought, what if money expired? What if we could all learn to see any excess we have as not ours, as something that will curdle if we don't use it or share it or give it away? I also wonder if one of the ways this story could form us as a community is to remind us what a gift it is to show up for each other. What a gift it can be to others and your community, not just for yourself, when you invite others in to help you respond to a need or an accident. To give everyone a chance to be a part of the same story. I mean, that story had to have become something that that neighborhood shared every time another new family moved in. And we are a community with a story, too. And one thing, in closing, that I'd like you to start tucking away and thinking about for the coming year is that in January of 2026, this community will have the 40th anniversary of the first formal gathering of CMCL, when the group that had been dreaming about getting together and practicing actually signed the first covenant together and said, okay, we're going to do this thing. We're going to start this church, and it's going to be Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster. So as we think together as a community, if and how we might want to celebrate that, that too is a story that we are a part of that I think gives us an invitation to think about how we might want to gather together with one another in the coming year and reflect on the parts of the story of this community that we're a part of. And maybe have people repeat some of the stories that not everybody knows. I know that there are some funny stories in this community too, even if they don't involve 55 open cans. One thing we are going to be doing in the coming year is inviting folks to participate in a new kind of a small group. We're hoping that in the fall and in the winter, we're going to be offering opportunities for everyone who'd like to be divided into small groups that will meet as a way of getting to know one another and sharing stories and hopefully bringing some of those stories back here to the community as a whole. So keep your ears and eyes out for the announcements about that. That'll be starting in September, but in August we'll be looking for folks to let us know if they'd like to participate in those. So our hope is that this anniversary celebration can be a gift to us in the same way that Maggie's gift was to her family, to give us opportunities to get together so that each of us knows more and more people here as friends and people like us. So. And finally, I just want to say thank you. In a number of ways, we reached out to folks in the congregation to find suggestions of stories that were formative to you growing up, or perhaps that you chose to share with the children in your life over the years. And we got way more suggestions than we have Sundays in July and August to share those stories. So I'll put that list together at some point so you can see everybody's recommendations. But I just so look forward to each Sunday, July and August, sharing more of these stories that have formed folks in this congregation, and look forward to seeing how they might form us as a community and whether they might be stories that your family or household might be interested in sharing as well. So, thank you.